I did want you to do. How many of you are seeing the e-bulletin, the good news report, or whatever you want to call it? You know, these things are. You could have written it. It would have been just as good. But the Lord said, write it. Write these things every week. We're up to number 23. And it's 23 weeks. 23 weeks. How long is that? That seems like a forever, doesn't it? 5 months. 5 months. But I did really want to just speak about how God puts us together. And when God fitly joins His church together, He compacts us together. Now, when I started looking in the Greek on that word compact, I got a little painful. It got a little painful. It's almost like, John, what you just went through, a knee replacement, where they kind of work that thing into the bone. The Lord kind of works us together. He does. Look it up. You might not agree with me, but He does. He compacts us together. And it gives some indication that, look, I've got to be pliable within the body. I can't just be me all the time here. I can't. Some things I got to lay down. I got to lay some of me down. The Lord laid all of Him down. He did. He laid all of Himself down. Some of us, what I'd like to see this do for you is trigger those old study habits that you had way back when. Is that right? Is this correct? Let me dig. Let me find out for myself, because the Holy Spirit's your teacher. He's the one that teaches you, but do we give Him enough opportunity to teach me on every area I need to learn? We need to learn a lot about the body and how it functions. There's a lot of connections within these skins that we live in. You know, our nurses could tell us about it. There's a lot of connections. You know, we had a young man hurt Friday night. You know, when he was hurt, and I don't know the story, I don't know the details. Jody might could fill us in, but he was hurt, not during the game, prior to the game, on the run-through of the banner. Something happened. There was a trip, somebody tripped, somebody stepped on somebody, or something. Misstep. Sometimes you can, you know, as we grow older, we have to watch our steps, where we place our feet. Have you noticed that lately? I'm noticing it more and more. And I always wondered, why is my dad slowing down so much? You know, he'll take that step, that old man step. You know what I'm finding? I'm taking those old men step myself. Because especially, you know when it hits me? When I've got the shampoo in the hair and my eyes are closed and I'm, you know, turning around to get the all washed out. You've got, what is my point? These bodies are made in such a way that we do take care of them. We do know how to guard and protect them. And sometimes with age, we do need to slow it down a little bit. As a body of Christ, sometimes we need to take a little precaution and guard and protect that joint over there, which isn't me, it's somebody else. That connection over here, it's not me, it's somebody else. And we need to just take into consideration each other. We are a body. We're not the head, but the Lord is the head. But we need to take consideration. So that's not all in there, but there's some good stuff in here. But read it if you can, and let it trigger that idea, that joy of study. Because the Scripture tells us, study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Let's look at it, because I don't want to misquote it, and I'm almost ready to misquote it. Study. Where's it at? There. No, 1 Timothy 2:15. I'm sorry, Jody. Wait a minute. No. You were right. That's just not King James. So I misread it. Study. Here it is. To show, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we study, so we can rightly divide the word of truth. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. It's not all written out like an outline. The scripture is 40 different men over 1,800 years. God put this word together perfectly, perfectly unified. Perfect unity in the scripture. 40 different authors. The Holy Spirit was the author. 40 different individuals. 1,800 years. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Study to show yourself a word approved unto God. A rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. Because you can't, if you can rightly divide it, guess what? You can wrongly divide it as well. And so if you want to do a research on some topic, what do you need to do? You need to find all you can find on that topic and then become the expert and analyze it and digest it and then regurgitate it. You want to find out about love, then you dig into love in the scriptures. You find all the examples of love in the word. And you do that. You make it a part of you. Faith, you want to find out about faith? Find out all the scripture says about faith. And it's a lot more than just Hebrews 11:6. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. So, I pray that you're inspired to study, to dig, to look into the Word, and let the Holy Spirit teach us, teach you. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Lord, thank you for this day. This is your day. We rejoice. We're glad in it, Lord. We do rejoice, Lord, because you are our Lord. Lord, you did all so that we could know you. All that you did so that we could know you, so that we could fellowship with you, so that we could be your body. Lord, hearing your word, following your instructions, loving you and loving each other. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to just... Today, here's what we're doing. We're pretty much wrapping up where we've been, I don't know how long. I lose track after a while, but it seems like Sunday to Sunday, it's sort of review and stretch forward to a little bit more. So we're gaining ground as we go, but I'm about ready to not change books. We're going to stay with the same book, the same Word of God. But I said something last week that just the Lord put it in my heart to say. This whole faith, this whole life, this whole Christian walk, every element of it is above the natural. It's above the natural. And that just sparked something in me with what we're talking about here, about the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit, about the apostles' doctrine. We must understand that is supernatural. Repentance, remittance of sin, all those sins completely washed away by the Lord when He shed His blood. And then you turning to Him. He's not shedding His blood again. He shed it once for all. It's ours to turn to receive that remittance of sin. That's the payment, His blood. And we have to turn to it. That's supernatural. That's above natural. Baptism. Just without going into detail, there's more than water baptism in Scripture. You understand that? Yeah. Children of Israel, they were baptized. They were baptized in the cloud. They were. They were covered in the cloud. And it talks about that. Scripture talks about that. But there's a baptism in the Spirit. There's a Spirit baptism. John the Baptist said, look, here He comes. Here He comes. I'm not worthy to tie His shoe. I baptize you with this water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Is that true? Yeah, Jesus talked about it himself. He said in John chapter 7, he talked about rivers of living water that would flow out of you. And speaking about the Holy Spirit that is to come. That was in parentheses right behind that. So everything, every aspect, and that's just, that's just the first tip of the first iceberg. There is so much. Everything involved in your faith is above nature, is above the natural. And I just want to look at that. Because we're so carnal. We are so carnal. You wake up in the morning, carnal's calling you. We got these bodies, these physical bodies that we live in, that's directing a lot of our footsteps every day. How many tracks do you make to the refrigerator every day? If you sit at home for very long, like, you know, it's football season. I like to watch a little college football while I'm studying. I do study. So I'm not preaching football today. But my point is that when I'm sitting, I'm thinking. That stomach's talking. That refrigerator's right there. There's the floor. Make tracks. And there I go again. My carnal's leading me. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So much of what we do. But we get so caught up in just this feelings, the feelings of the day. I want to go beyond that. So that's where we're headed. But today I want to just recap and make one last point. But I want to recap with this, starting out with this. Dwight L. Moody said this, and I think it's good because he was the first president of Moody Bible Institute. It was named after him. I want to get to what R.A. Torrey said. He was the second president of Moody Bible Institute. But Dwight L. Moody said this, "The world has yet to see what God will do in and for and with and through the man that is wholly yielded to him." I believe that should be our goal, wholly yielded to God, wholly yielded to God. And so I think as we move forward with this idea about looking at our faith, looking at our Christian walk, looking at this life experience and this being alive in Christ Jesus and how it's so far above where we live, we got to think about it. We got to put our mind on it. We've got to focus on the things that are important. Last week, what did I talk about? I talked about we must be mindful, actively notice, pay attention to what we're thinking about. Pay attention to what we're paying attention to. Are we thinking about the scriptures when we read them? Are we seeing and how they really apply to me, to my life? As I study the scriptures, like 2 Timothy 2:15 was telling us, it enables me to rightly divide the scripture. We've got to get this scripture in us and the Holy Spirit. Then you give him material to work with. He can start connecting the dots for you and for me. But it can't just lay on this page. I've got to get this word in me in order for the Holy Spirit to begin that work in me. Because he'll preach to you in the middle of the night. You'll wake up with a message on your heart. I've got to get this. I've got to know this. And it's not, in the last 5 months, it hasn't failed yet. I was up again at 4 this morning. Every Sunday morning, the Lord's waking me up early. Stirring that pot in me. What pot is that, Dave? This pot of scripture that I've put down here in my belly, in my spirit man. The Lord's stirring that in me, saying this or this, making it clear. Because during the week, there's 1,001 things that happen every day of the week, or more. And it seems like there's so many directions that my choices can make, my words can lead us. I don't want that. I don't want to go in the direction of the easiest route. I want to go in the direction of what God wants, what you need to hear. And that's, I just sense that that's how he's dealing with me. I don't know if it's everybody, but me Sunny morning's not sleep in morning. It's rise and shine morning. So we already had a pot of coffee drank before Carrie even woke up. So God's working. He's moving. He's working in us in this body. Praise God. R.A. Torrey said this concerning the Holy Spirit. It's the last line that gets me. If the Holy Spirit is a divine person and we know it not, we are robbing a divine of being or God. We are robbing God of the love and adoration which are His due. It is of the highest practical importance that we know whether the Holy Spirit is a power that we, in our ignorance and weakness, are somehow to get hold of and use, or whether the Holy Spirit is a personal being, third person of the Godhead, who is to get a hold of us and use us. It is of the highest experiential importance. Many can testify to the blessing that came into their lives when they came to know the Holy Spirit, not merely as a gracious influence, but as an ever-present loving friend and helper. Ever-present loving friend and helper. That's what who the Holy Spirit is to you and to me. Jesus said, I must go so that I can send the Comforter. And He's going to lead you into all truth, guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter. He is with us now. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to share that because that last line just triggered in me. But as an ever-present loving friend and helper. How many times has He actually spoken to me and I've just ignored? I know we're in the same boat. We've all done that. We've all heard Him speak to us and we've ignored it. He's an ever-present loving friend and helper to me. What am I to Him? What is my relationship to Him? I need to be loving, a loving friend to Him as well. I need to listen to Him. That's what friends do. They listen to each other, right? They do. They listen to each other. I need to take His counsel. I need to take His unctioning. I need to take His encouragement, you know, because a lot of times I just beat myself down. I didn't do it right. I didn't say it right. I wasn't prepared, fully prepared like I should have been. Or I said, I didn't even follow my notes. But you see, the carnal David will take any opportunity to just grab the stick and just wail on me. You know, my dad never whooped me like I whooped myself, you know. My granny whooped me one time. Well, I laughed at her. I was a little five-year-old boy. Yeah, I laughed at her, and she ran me down the hall. And well, she didn't run. But she cornered me. She cornered me, and I couldn't get around her. And boy, she had a grip like a steel vise, and she grabbed a hold of me. Crying wasn't just enough to get her to stop. No. She had to be fully satisfied with the notion that I got the lesson out of that whipping. It only happened once. It only needed to happen once. I was good, David, after that. Never laughed at her again. Wow. The Lord's not out to get us. He's not out to beat us. You know the song we sang a little while ago, You Are Good. You know, His goodness follows us. It runs after us. You know, I was thinking, you know, some of us, we get the idea, and I'm probably guiltier than anybody in here, that His judgment's after me. His judgment's running after me. He's going to get me and straighten me out. It's His goodness that brings us to repentance in the first place. You know, I was just an old sinner, as you were. couldn't do anything right. And when you're in sin, when you're unregenerated, you can't do anything right that satisfies that could ever come close to the price needed to be paid for my redemption. Nothing. I could do the greatest thing in all the world. But if I'm unsaved, if I'm lost, there's no good that I can do to save me. There's none of that. But the Lord, His goodness ran after me when I was at my worst, and He found me. And it got my attention because He loved me when I was unlovable. And we can love Him back because He first loved us. And there's no greater love than what He did for us. And it's humbling. It's very humbling. You know, and we need to remind ourselves of that. And you know what else it is? It's above the natural. It's above the natural. Praise God. We're going to talk about that soon. Praise the Lord. I want to, these last number of weeks, we've been talking about a lot of different things. We've been talking about the apostles' doctrine. And I want to bring a point to you. Acts 2, 38, 40, and 42. Then Peter said unto them, this is the day of Pentecost. The upper room experience has already happened. They've spoken with tongues. Many people heard it. Now they're ready to listen to the gospel being preached. And Peter preached to them. And he said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I made some arguments over the last weeks that is sound doctrine. That's the Word of God. The apostles' doctrine, it's called that because that's what they were preaching. But what were they preaching? They were preaching the Great Commission. That's what we're all called to preach. The church worldwide is called to preach the Great Commission. Repentance, baptism, remission of sin, the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is the Great Commission. Sadly, a lot of the church world has left off a bunch of that, or some of that, the last element of that. That's sad. I don't want to do that. I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, what did you do with my Great Commission? What did you do with that? I want Him to say, well done, you handled the Great Commission. You did as I instructed you to do. Because it hasn't changed. This is for your children. This is for you, for your children, to all that are far off, even to as many as are called by the Lord our God. The Lord hasn't changed. He doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't tell Roy to do one thing and me something else. And we're living in this same age, this same time frame, this same moment we are living together. He doesn't tell somebody 100 years ago to do one thing and us to do something different. He's no respecter of persons like that. Since the Lord Himself ascended into heaven, He's telling the church the same thing. And throughout all the centuries, the 200 centuries it's been, He's telling the whole church, 2,000 years, He's telling the church the same. Do the Great Commission. Do it. Speak it. Preach it. Take this word out there. I will confirm it. That's His job. To confirm the word. We pray for the sick. We anoint with oil. That's what the scripture instructs us to do. It's not my job to bring healing. That's the Lord. He confirms His word. We're just obedient to do what He told us to do. And we pray the way He told us to pray. The prayer of faith. I believe when I pray that Roy receives healing then. That's how we do it. The Lord confirms the work. No living being does that. The Lord Himself. When I say living being, I'm talking about human man. Here, none of, you don't do it, I don't do it. The Lord does it, but we obey His word and follow through with His instructions. He confirms it. So we continue to preach this gospel. That's the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Repentance, baptism in the name of the Lord, remission of sins, and then receiving the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. Jesus did the work. Now, here's something. The next verse has kind of caught my attention this morning, and I want to share it with you. And with many other words, this is verse 40, Acts 2:40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, listen, save yourselves. Let that sink in. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. We live, they lived in an untoward generation at that time. We still live in an untoward generation. What does that mean? Untoward means crooked, curved, perverse, wicked, unfair, surly. That's what untoward means. We live in a generation that is that way now. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Can I save myself? Can I save myself? Because I've had these conversations before. You know what? Certain segments of our faith family worldwide will use these words. We'll use these words because they've been used in conversation with me. You can't save yourself. Have you heard that? Okay, well, we need to understand and make clear, no one of us is going on that cross to shed our blood. Jesus did that once for all people and for all time. Jesus shed His blood for us, for you individually, for me. He shed His blood. He paid the price. There's no way. None of us could ever come close. We couldn't do it. We were born into sin. Although we believe God gives grace to that child until there's an age of accountability that's reached. We believe that. I believe that. But there is still that birth. He's born after Adam. We've got to be reborn, born again into Jesus, into the last Adam. The Lord came and undid everything that Adam did. The Lord came and corrected everything Adam gave away. Does that make sense? I want to be clear. I want to make sure we make sense. So is this saying, save yourselves, what is that saying? What is that telling us? What is that telling us? We have to... What it's telling me, save myself. Look, I've got to stand in that place that Jesus paid for. In other words, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe His blood washed me clean from all my sins. But there are times that I have to fight to believe. Because Satan's trying to whale me over the head with what I did or what I thought or what I said. Trying to just pulverize my faith with my actions or whatever. Look, you've got to fight. You've got to fight to believe. You've got to fight to receive. Although it's right here, it's the gift. All I have to do is take it. But in me, is this feeling. I'll use feeling because feelings, it's usually a carnal influence that's overpowering this man that I am on the inside. or fighting that man. And we're not supposed to be carnal minded. Carnal mindedness does what? It is what? To be carnally minded is death. Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. That's the battle right there, I believe. For me, for David, the biggest battle is that. Just getting my thinking right, getting my thinking lined up with what truth is, the Word of God, the redemption that I have received in the Lord Jesus Christ by His shed blood. Just laying hold, and I use that scripture a lot, but we got to lay hold of eternal life. We've got to make that my possession. It's mine. And that, I believe, is what Peter's telling us. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Because if you start talking like the world, you'll start thinking like the world. Now, here, let me back up one step further. If we're so focused on watching the world and what the world's doing, we'll start talking like the world. We'll start thinking like the world. We'll start acting like the world. It's a progression. It's a progression. What you lay your eyes on, that's a gateway right down here to this hidden man. Huh? Even our ears, what we listen to is a gateway down here. We got to watch that. We got to watch what we watch. We got to watch what we hear. We got to, what did we say earlier? Pay attention to what we're paying attention to. That's the truth. That's the truth. Mike, are you back there? Oh, okay. Jody, can we somehow get that picture up there? I want to read a scripture to you. The title of our sermon today is Know Ye Not. Know Ye Not. And this really is a lot like the scripture from Hebrews 2:1 that tells us to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest they slip. Know ye not, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you are the temple of God? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Now, if you look at this is a picture of the temple. I haven't taken a close look at it, but let's take a look at it together. Uh-huh. That looks like what I was thinking it'd look like. On the outside is the court of the Gentiles. And I haven't read this. This is just an observation that I've made. We're the temple of God. You are. Me, I am. I know that in me there's a spirit, a soul, and a body. There's three parts to me, right? There's four parts really to this temple up here. You can see it in the square to the left, right there, left, right there, right there. Most holy place. Most holy place. That's the hardest to see. Your spirit man is invisible to me. I can't see yours. You can't see mine. That's the most holy place. There's a holy place in you, a most holy place. I believe that's where the Holy Spirit resides with me, right there. Then there's a holy place. There's a holy place. I believe when we have things operating as it should, when we are operating with the mind of Christ, when our thoughts and affections are on the Lord, when we're taking the Word in and we are renewing our mind and being transformed by the Word, our soul, the Scripture tells us that the Lord wants you to prosper. Prosper and be in health. In health, even as your what prospers? Even as your soul prospers. Your soul and your spirit, they're not the same thing. Some of the church world doesn't understand that, but your spirit man Right, way down here in the inside is the part of you, or is the part of Adam that died the day he sinned. And then his thinking was corrupted after that. And then his body died later on. Well, look, most holy place, your spirit man, holy place, your soul. What's surrounding it all? This court. This court. This is a what do they call it? Court of the from the tent in. That's you. The outside is this shell that we live in and walk in. Outside of that is the court of the Gentiles. This world that we live in and operate in. Okay? You are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit is in you. Know you not? Know you not. Do you not know this? Do you think about this? When the decisions of life hit you and you have a choice to make? You going to bend because it's easy, or are you going to stand your ground because that's the right thing to do? That's the godly thing to do. That's what God's called you to do. Are you going to stand? Are you going to go your way? Are you going to be in love, act in love? But still, you can be the man, the woman of God. God's called you to be in love without bending, without swaying, without going the court of the Gentiles, or another way, in work, in business. There's a lot of times you can take shortcuts and it is easier. But that's not right. No, we've got to hold fast to what's right, what's true. Know you not that you are the temple of God and the Lord dwells in you? We need to give thought to these things. I know this is a simple message. This is sort of a wrap-up. There's too much to cover and re-preach. But I want you to know that God is with you. He's in you. The Holy Spirit is a part of our lives every day. He's not an outside influence we have to try to muster up. He's in you. If you listen, He's speaking to you even now. And He leads you in those hard decisions of life. When you're ready, when you need comfort, it's there. When you need courage, it's there. You don't have to go to a bottle or something else to get it. Courage is there because the Holy Spirit is courageous. God is with us. And we need to walk as if He is, because that's the truth. He's there. He's, what did Mr. Torrey say way back when? He said that He's an ever-present friend. An ever-present friend. Ever-present loving friend. That's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Can you say amen to that? Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord. Lord, may the word that's been spoken today, Lord, may it produce fruit in us, in all that heard, in me, Lord, because, Lord, I know this was what You wanted said. I pray, Lord, that it connected. And Lord, as we go out and do the community this week, we look to You, Lord, to lead us and guide us and direct us, to give us everything we need, Lord, for this week, Lord. You know what's ahead. Give us what we need for the week, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, may we be ever mindful that the Holy Spirit is with us, comforting us, guiding us, instructing us, loving us. So we give You glory and praise and honor as we take this word to the community and share it with our friends and family, co-workers. We give You glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.